The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on."
We'll just pray for Andrew before he preaches. Lord, thank you for Andrew. Thank you for his life and witness and the words that he has prepared for us today. We pray that the words of his mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I said this morning was a bit like a sequel for yesterday. But in some ways, yesterday was like a prequel because I've been thinking about this subject. And before I knew what Messy Church was going to be. And so it was all about, as you probably gathered, it's about a spirit of generosity and letting go. And I thought it might be helpful. I just looked up some definitions on generous and generosity. The term generous denotes one who freely gives to others, one who is willing to share without expecting anything in return. It is doing or giving more than necessary or expected. Generosity is a quality that we probably all wish we had more of. It is living from the inside out, life from the inside out. A spirit of generosity is far more than money. It can encompass time, energy, being forgiving, gentle, kind, wanting to extend to others what the person would want for themselves. Actually, some of the best exponents of this are small children. Lydia had it yesterday. She had her friends giving her presents. But I've seen children that high. One of their friends falls over and hurts and cries. And the little child, a friend, would go up, put their arm round them, give them a toy, and perhaps even their sweet. It's just a natural giving out of love to their friends. But unfortunately, as children grow up and become adults, the pressures of adult life come in, and many adults just give away and are generous in a very measured way. It's as though they're giving out of their spare change in their pocket or the spare change in the time they have. But giving is part, and generosity is really part of our humanity. A couple of weeks ago, I turned on a program. It was called Fake or Fortune. It was hosted by Fiona Bruce. And there's various art experts who look at people's paintings. They think they may have one which is a real gem. On the other hand, it might be just a very good copy or even a fake. And one of these guys was he had a German grandfather. And he'd acquired this painting of back in about 1947. And it was a facial study by the most famous German artist of that period. And they weren't quite sure about it. So they did quite a lot of research. They talked to experts. And this man from lives in London now, he was with these experts in Berlin. And they'd just been in to look up about some of the records to try and establish its provenance. Because in 1947, a lot of paintings were acquired, which people had got off Jewish families or been stolen, basically. And apparently, in the immediate post-war years, a lot of Germans had to sign a paper as to what they'd actually done in the war, as to how where they needed denazification. Sorry about that. Anyway, it turned out this guy's grandfather, who'd had a factory which made equipment for stopping metals going rust, had pledged all his worldly goods on the basis that his Jewish foreman would not, and his whole family would have flawless behavior. He'd committed every penny he had on the security of this one man and his family. Now, the guy who heard it, he just couldn't face the cameras. He was just overcome with complete emotion. It's something he knew nothing about. Nothing at all. What he really found was he found a treasure that would give pleasure and joy to generations to come. His painting was a very nice painting, but it wasn't the original. But he got so much more. So much more. You know, we're all generous, good at being generous. If you've got children or even grandchildren, we're naturally generous to them, aren't we? And if it's done in a healthy family, it's not done out of duty, obligation, or competition between grandparents, but it's done out of love. And we see God's generosity to us. To his people. It just flows through the Bible, doesn't it? His generosity to his people. You know, his willingness to forgive them when they've been disobedient or unfaithful. And they just gives them. And quite honestly, God is so gracious and forgiving to us. You know, John wrote, we've all received grace upon grace. And we have so much in our lives to be thankful and grateful for. And it's all because for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not have perished but have eternal life. Now, when Jesus' ministry started, he set out his stall in the synagogue at Nazareth, didn't he? And he said, he has been sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners, recovery for the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. And later, Jesus summarized the law, to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength. And secondly, to love your neighbours yourself. And at one point, Jesus is asked, who is my neighbour? And Jesus gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man who took compassion and did the right thing for a robbery victim, who took him to an inn, took care of him, gave money to the innkeeper, and promised to come back and pay if more money was necessary. He was going beyond what was expected. It was love in action. And Jesus then told the person who asked him, go and do likewise. Jesus in Luke 6 said, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. If you read through the Gospels, actually Jesus talks quite a lot about money and how we use it. Now, in our short reading, which we just had and you saw, heard about earlier on, it was Jesus points out the contrast between the large money of the rich. We had a video yesterday, which was actually great. And it showed this rich man who was able to give his money quite generously, pouring it out. But he still had all his fine clothes. He still had food to eat. He still had his nice big house. He still had all his friends he could entertain. It didn't matter. But there was a little lady who gave all that she had to live on. She was going to go hungry. And who knows? She goes hungry too long. Is she still here? But she was going beyond the norm or the expected. And she was trusting God for her security and survival. If you know the Old Testament, you have Elijah goes to a place called Zarephath. And he meets a widow. And it's a time of great famine. And he asks the lady if he could have a drink and some bread to eat. Now, this lady was about to make the very last meal that she and a young son would ever eat. They were going to eat it and then die. And she gives Elijah the food. But Elijah then prophesies that a jar and a bottle would not run out until the rains came. And so it was. She was willing to give, and God met her needs. I'm going to digress slightly and look about our own church finances. Because I know most of you don't understand the church accounts because they're not that easy to understand. In our main, running the church here, the main expenditure here, we spend about £43,000 a year. And a lot of that is taken up in paying for the family purse, which covers paid ministry, it covers the training, it covers everything else the diocese provides. We also have, obviously, ministry expenses for in, insurance, the heating, the light, even playing our songs this morning. We pay a license fee on those. And we also give 10% of our giving to charity. Looking after the building itself, the fabric, that money has to be found separately. To meet our outgoings, we get a small amount from fees, from weddings, from funerals and that sort of thing. But the main money we get actually comes from giving from people here. And actually it works out at £625 a week is what we actually need. So you can't work it out in your head mentally, just take a calculator on it. But we get some very helpful tax reclaim on what we give. Most churches, I don't know what it is exactly here, tend to find that 80% of the giving comes from 20% of the people. But unfortunately, in the last few years, people have moved on for various reasons, and we've lost several of that 20%. And the trouble is, it makes life much harder. We've already had to reduce the amount we give to the work of people like Chitra, like for the translation of the Bible for the flame people in Nepal, to CYO. And, you know, we may well have to do that again. And that reduction, it may not be very much, but it actually makes a huge difference and hurts them hard. But also, if there are consequences, if we don't pay our family purse, you know, it has an impact on the diocese budget, so there's less paid ministry. And you have situations like at Stanway, which is having houses coming out its ears, and there's no rectory, only a part-time unpaid minister. And we have very large benefices, and that's not what is good for our church or any other church. So I just ask you to just hold our finances in your prayers. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, advises each man should give what is decided in his own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compassion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Last year, Ian had a sermon about legacies. Well, my will is about 25 years out of date, I think, really. And I shall probably be looking at this autumn. My plan to do is to look at my will and think, you know, what should I be giving to charity when I'm not around? And I shall do that. But I thought it'd be useful to give some testimony about giving. In 2005, we were praying and preparing for the reordering here. And at Easter, we had an appeal to the congregation for funds, either sort of checks or pledges, etc. And Richard Morgan, who was rector at the time, said, go and count it up during the service, Andrew. And so I went out and counted it up. And actually, we didn't quite get as much as we'd half been hoping for. But I put a good face on it, and afterwards Richard came up to me and said, I sense God was saying, it will be enough. It will be enough. And so it proved. You know, we had people who already made one donation, made some more, and fresh giving came in, and all of a sudden grants started coming through as well. And we managed to do far more than we'd ever hoped or planned we were going to be able to do. And we managed it. And we paid our family purse and we gave our money to charity. And at times we trusted God more than normal human logic. We just trusted God and God provided. I personally have found that if I decided to give a good lump away, that somehow I've managed. God has just it's not as though I've not even noticed it. I've trusted it and God has managed it. It's a bit like the widow. You give away what you don't think you can have, but it just is there. And yesterday when Helen did her little story about the puppets, the Ayla puppets, about the unexpected blessings of doing the right thing and giving out, you know, I can tell you it's brought me unexpected blessings by giving. I think I've probably gained sort of a deep inner contentment. It's the added security of knowing that I can trust in God's provision, that whatever happens, that he will be there. It may not be what I might dream for, but it will be enough for what I need. And it's also, I've found that I've been liberated. My possessions don't possess or own me anymore. And at times when you give out on your time and what you say and how you help somewhere, sometimes things come back and they give you a real deep inner glow of seeing how God can work unexpectedly for what you've done. A few years ago, I was, I'm a surveyor, so those who don't know, I looked over a house in bottom of Old Heath Road, and I can often learn quite a lot about people going around the houses, believe it or not. You know, just sort of look at the bookcases as a fairly good example. And I could see this lady was a Christian, and she gave me a cup of coffee, and I started chatting. And it transpired that her husband, who had been a soldier in the army, had left her. And she was in a pretty low, poor place. And I just spoke to her for a couple of minutes or so. I don't know. Wasn't that long, gave her a few words of encouragement and hope, and I can't remember exactly what I said. But nearly a year later, I wasn't that far away in Colchester, probably off Kendall Road or somewhere, and suddenly I saw this white woman running across the street towards me. And she said, "A year ago, you came to my house and you were like an angel to me." And that was, I was absolutely stunned. And I would, but we don't know when we are being kind and gentle and saying the right words to someone, what blessings we give. I was very fortunate. I found out what it was. I didn't think I'd done anything. I'd just given her a little bit of my time. That's all it was. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "Giving is true having. Giving is true having." I think that's very true. And Amy Carmichael wrote, "You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving." Generosity is allowing ourselves to be open, to see and feel the pain and need of others. Giving time to be a good listener, to empathise, be compassionate. It's stepping out to do the right thing in spite of our natural fears or concerns. It's not counting the cost of our time, energy and resources. It is love in action. And I believe it helps make us more the kind of person Jesus would like us to be. My prayer is that the congregation of St. Andrew's will have a deep desire for the spiritual gift, and that blessings will flow. Lord, fill us with your grace so that we're better able to love our neighbours as ourselves, and to not hold back in doing what you would wish us to do. Amen.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Let's take a few moments just to reflect on perhaps something that God has been speaking to us through what Andrew has said. A couple of things that came to my mind as he was talking. One was a word that was given before the service, which was about forgiveness. Sometimes our giving can't be done because of an attitude of our hearts. Maybe God's speaking to you about, or prompting you about, an area that you should be giving in financially, or in your words, or in your deeds. So take a moment now just to say to God, what is it that you're prompting me to do in response to the sermon? Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of generosity, of abundance, of overflow, of fruitfulness, of flourishing. And that's what you desire for us. So we pray that we would allow you to fill us, that we might overflow to those around us in generosity. Amen.